All right, so chinuch advice from Pirkei Avos. I'm going to start off with a beautiful idea by the Medrash David, who's the grandson of the Rambam. The Mishnah recites as follows, and just to give you an overview of what we're going to do, we're going to see around four, depending on time, maybe five pieces of distinct advice from Pirkei Avos that overlap pretty concretely with messages of state-of-the-art pedagogy and what you learn as a starting point. Obviously, there's more to elaborate and to extrapolate and to develop and to work on, but as bullet points in terms of ideas that stand at the foundation of what it means to be a good mechanich. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos states as follows, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua Omer, Yihi chavod talmidcha chaviv alecha keshelcha. The honor, the respect that you give to your students should be as beloved to you as the honor that you yourself are bestowed. And that's a pretty powerful statement just on its own to think about, that we, right, end of sentence, have to respect our students. That's it. That's a very powerful thing to think about. Usually we think about students respecting teachers, but we have to respect our students. So the Medrash David extrapolates and elaborates in a very powerful way. We're not going to read the whole thing, but you'll get a taste of it. He says, Ratzah Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua lelamdeinu bezos ha-mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua wanted to teach us ha-hitnagut b'nimus v'chavod ha-briot kol echad karoi lo, how we're supposed to treat each other properly. Everybody gets their dose of respect. Umishi yishma ledvarav v'yase kitzivuyo yikre adam. And if you do that, this is what's called a mensch. This is what you would be called a person if you treat others in the appropriate manner. Rishona amar yichvod talmidcha. So we start off with having honor for your student. It should be as beloved upon you as your own honor. Rotze lomar. Ase shiyehe kvod talmidcha chavav alacha kikvodcha. You have to work on this. It's not something that comes easily. You have to prepare for this. Lafi, but why is it important? Lafi shekol ma shetitrabe abato v'shivcho mimcha, the more love and praise that your students get from you, kain tirbe boshdo mimcha v'yirbe b'chachma v'yiftach libo v'titkala haskalato benimus. So the more you honor and respect your students and give them praise, the more they're going to be able to learn better. Right? If you think the way to get them to learn is to put them down, if you think the way to get them to learn is to criticize all the time and to, you know, give them tough love, there might be a place for that at some point, but that's not your starting point, and that's not the best way to go. The best way is to give them honor and respect, and that's going to help them learn appropriately. And not only that, the yismach, it'll create positive emotions. They'll be happy about it. The yeda sheishol etz l'rabo kavod, they're going to think, wow, my teacher respects me. My teacher honors me. Umala v'yosef chachma. That's going to influence them and motivate them to want to learn more and to get more capabilities and to listen to you. And they'll, in response, respect you. And then in contrast, those who disgrace their students, kegemishim evaze tamido, they embarrass them. V'sneu tamid v'yatziv also b'dvar marim. And you say negative things to them over and over and over again, it's going to destroy them. It's going to ruin them. And he continues, and it's worth going through at a different point in time, all the details here. It's really could be taken from a modern psychological textbook or educational psychology textbook of all the advice he has here in terms of how the emotional responses of a teacher to a student is and vice versa. But we'll leave that for a different time. But the main takeaway that I think is important to start off with is that we need to respect and honor the people that are in front of us. It doesn't matter who they are. They could, even if there's a power hierarchy in theory that I'm a teacher, you are a student. No, I have to respect you as well. And that's going to create the culture of success and thriving in a classroom, as well as wherever we're interacting with other people. This sets the stage of what responsibilities a teacher has towards the student in terms of their preparation. If we are going to respect and honor our students, part of that is not just how we talk to them, but how much effort we put into the lessons that we are going to develop and the ideas that we want them to take away. By me putting in and investing the time and effort into the class, that shows that I am respecting their time. I am respecting their own personalities and their own learning styles. And that's an important thing. It frames the entire chinuch system, is that we have to respect and keep in mind the needs and the desires of our students. So with that in mind, let's take a look at some just basic ideas in terms of developing a lesson. So Rabbi Foreman would start, this is the beginning of any lesson plan, is you have to have a hook, whether the hook is a joke, whether the hook is something that brings the students in an organic way. So we have in Pirkei Avos, in the sixth chapter, which is a set of brisos amended to the five chapters of Pirkei Avos. So there's two brises together that list the 48 ways that Torah is acquired. And one, or perhaps two, depending on how you count them, but let's assume it's one way that one of the 48 ways that Torah is acquired is what's called Shoel Umeshiv, to ask and to answer. So what does to ask and to answer mean? So Rav Matisyahu Hayitzari writes as follows. He says, what does it mean, Shoel Ham Umeshiv? Hodia Darchei Hamelamed, Shu Rosh Yeshiva. So this is advice to a teacher, Umishu Roy Liosu, whoever is teaching. She Yishal Liyoshvim Lefanov Kedei Lesadram Ula Orer Libam. You have to ask good questions. You have to set the stage. Get the lecture, the classroom, the discussion started through being able to frame things in a way that makes it clear, organized, as well as motivating, that people want to hear what's next. If you just jump in without any hook, as we call it, then people are just going to be lost from the beginning. So you have to have a good hook. You have to bring people in. V'yashiv im yishaleu, and if they ask questions, you have to answer them. Kol zeh b'derech yishuv, in order to be able to set the stage, to answer their questions. L'hotzi davar lamito, and this is what really allows for the proper learning experience, in order to delve down and to get to the kernel of wisdom or truth that we're trying to get to. So you always have to start your lesson with a hook. The second piece is, and this gets back to being concrete, but it has to be clear and relevant. If what you're discussing, if what you're talking about is not clear and relevant to who you're talking to, then it's going to be completely meaningless. And this is hard for anybody if you don't really understand the other person, if you don't understand where they're at. And sometimes teachers have this issue because you do have that difference, the hierarchy, the age difference, where you're not necessarily experiencing the same culture, the same environment that your students are in. So it's a really big challenge, and requires, if you respect and honor your students and you want to do a good job in teaching, it requires time and what we might call theory of mind to be able to get into the mind of your students in order to make it clear and to make it relevant. So one particular interesting way this comes out is the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos 4:13. Rabbi Yehuda tells advice to anybody, but we're going to spin it towards teachers. Have a zahir b'talmud. You should be careful when it comes to learning. Sheshigagos talmud ola zadon. When you make a mistake in learning, it's not necessarily just considered a mistake. There's some level of accountability here, that we're going to treat it as if it's done on purpose. So meaning you might say, like, I didn't mean to make a mistake, but if there's a problem in the learning process where you should have caught the mistake originally, but you didn't put enough time and effort, you can't just always say, wasn't my fault. There's an element of accountability. You're doing something that's so important. You're learning, or you're teaching Torah. You need to really think deeply to make sure that there aren't even mistakes. So the Medrash Shmuel here elaborates and says, the Efsher Od Lefarish, even though the Mishnah itself isn't necessarily talking to a teacher, the Medrash Shmuel says you could add an additional level of interpretation. Shemidaber Imarav, we're talking to a teacher. She has Zahir Lelamed Letalmidav, we have to teach our students Bilashon Nikia Vikala. It has to be language that's clear, that's simple, that's easy, that's relevant, that's concrete. You can't speak in abstracts. You can't speak in things that are not relevant to the people you're talking to. It has to be clear and precise. It can't be confusing. Vizeo Bilimud. Don't say things that can be interpreted in different ways. And again, if you don't prepare in advance, it's going to happen. You're not going to think that, oh, that can be misinterpreted. Oh, they don't understand that reference because that's not where their brain is at. That's not where their head is at. It's a great responsibility to make sure that the students don't make a mistake. Because again, going back to the Mishnah, if your students make a mistake because you're not clear, that's not a mistake. That's your fault, right? You're held accountable for that because you didn't put the right proper time in advance to make sure that you were thinking through what you were saying, that they wouldn't misinterpret or space out because what you're saying is so irrelevant and abstract that they have no idea what you're talking about. So it's really important as an educator, as a teacher, to make sure that you know where the students are at and use language that's going to bring them in and not be too overly confusing. As a corollary to that, there's something that is called the curse of knowledge. So sometimes when people are, and this applies to everybody, but for people who are in education, sometimes it applies even more, is that, you know, think about the absent-minded professor, right, who's sort of so knowledgeable in what they're doing, they don't really relate to the world in an appropriate way. I once had a professor, not at Azrieli, not even at YU, who was a statistics teacher, who was a very smart person. And this is teaching statistics to pretty smart people, but not people who are knowledgeable in statistics, at least yet. And I recall something that it shook me to the bones because of my previous Azrieli training as to how ridiculous of a statement this was. But the professor was struggling teaching, the students weren't understanding it, right? Me being one of those students. And he said something along the lines of, it's just so hard for me to know what you don't know because I know so much. Right? Meaning I can't put my mind into your minds to figure out what you're missing because it's just so simple and easy for me. And I can't, right? Well, then you're not really a teacher, right? You might be a good statistician and that's great. But if you can't figure out what your students don't know and how to teach it to them in a clear way, then that's the curse of knowledge. I know too much that I can't actually communicate it to you because I don't understand what you're missing in order to get to that stage. So a good teacher needs to know those steps, needs to be able to get into their minds of their students and figure out what's missing in order to build them up. Having too much knowledge is never an excuse to be a bad teacher. So this comes out in two interesting ways in Perkei Avos. Going back to the Braisa that we saw already, when one of the 48 ways, as we mentioned, was Shoal Umeshiv, to ask and to answer. So we saw the previous slide, two slides ago, that one way of understanding that is to create a hook, right? To bring the students in. You have to ask questions to engage their interest, almost like the Seder night, where you got to ask the questions. But another way of interpreting it is Shoal Umeshiv, the Merkeves HaMishnah writes, Shoal Ke'inyin Umeshiv Kalach. When you ask questions, it has to be on topic. It has to be relevant. And when you answer, you have to answer to the appropriate topic as well. Vahu, what does that mean? If you're a wise person, so he's assuming you know everything. You know so many things, not just in Torah. You know wisdom throughout, throughout the seven types of wisdoms. You know everything. So lo yachshov shashomim heim b'madregaso shiavinu dvarav. Don't think that the people you're talking to are on your level, that they're going to know everything that you know. Presumably they're not. V'afal pi sheheim b'remez v'sheyirtze shiavi ha'emes l'dvarav mechachmos acheru shetzrichim lichantzim b'akdamos ela yishtadl b'inyan shiavinu oso atamidim is asking bo makirin oso. You want to dazzle. You want to make, bring them in. And it comes not just from arrogance, but it could be from, you want everybody to know what you know. You want them to have that, or come from a good place. But if you don't realize that they're not even close to knowing what you know, and you're bringing in all of these proofs and all of these concepts and all of these metaphors that are totally irrelevant and not relatable, then you're not doing a good job, right? That's not going to be a good way of teaching. And then in the second source here, if you flip it, not just from an intellectual perspective, but also from a moral perspective or a growth, a personality perspective, it's important not to fall into that trap too, to think that just because I'm on a certain level of piety, that that means that everybody else is on that level as well. We need to get into the minds of the people we are interacting with. If they're students, then we need to know where they're at and make it relevant to them. And we can't stay in our ivory tower. So look at the Medrash Shmuel here. The Mishnah says, this is actually a classroom experience in Pirkei Avos in the middle of the second chapter. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has his five students who he gives them an assignment. And he tells them, Se'ur u, ezu derech yishara sheyidbak baha adam. Go out and see what is the appropriate path, the straight path that a person should cling to. And now it's interesting in its own right that he doesn't tell them the answer, right? Most of Pirkei Avos is, here's your advice. Here's what I have to tell you. In this modeling of a classroom experience, it's not what you have. You have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai doesn't say, this is the right path for you to take. He tells his students, you go figure out the right path. Se'ur u, leave the base medrash, the Maharal says. Leave the base medrash, go observe the world. This is your homework assignment, and figure it out on your own, and then come back, we'll talk about it. And they do, and this one says this is the right way, and this one says the other is the right way, and he gives them his own answer afterwards, but and he interacts with them in that very engaging way. Just a very important just side point in terms of how that, you know, what we can learn from that experience. But for our points for now, what does it mean, se'u or u? Go out and see. So the Medrash Shmuel here says, Efshar, the Amar Lahem tsu'ur u. What does it mean, go out and see? Lefisha hu haya rotzeh sheyomru derech tov shekol adam sheyirtzeh lidabek ba yuchal. He's asking them, let's get some advice for everybody, the whole world. Right, I want to tell everybody what the right path is. And this is going to be something that we're going to make billboards. We're going to give out this advice to everybody, to the masses. But what he didn't want was them to tell the answer based on their own higher level, their own piety. Who else would be? You have five of the greatest, Tanaim here that are interacting with him. He knew if I tell them, go figure this out on your own, they'd figure it out based on their own selves, based on their own level of either intellectual understanding or here again, moral understanding, piety, spirituality, religiosity. It would be too much them. So therefore, he tells them, Lachain Amar se'u or u, get out and see. Kilomar se'um itstaganinos shalachem. Get out of your own mind. Get out of your own brain. Get out of your own foramos. Right? Just get out. Don't think about yourself. V'lo tivcharu b'derach b'chinaschem. Don't go based on your own level. L'fis rov ha'olam yetzer lev adam ra'min rav v'nim shachmachar. Nobody's like you in terms of their ability to control their yetzer hara, right? You're on a higher level. So in order for us to be able to get advice that relates to other people, not just yourself, se'u, get out of your own brain, get out of yourself, or ooh, look how that paints onto a picture that's external to you, how other people, theory of mind, what are other people going to think about this? How are we going to help other people? Don't just think about yourself. Get out of yourself in order to be able to relate to others. So you see this curse of knowledge that Pirkei Avos is coming, and the commentators are coming to say, don't fall into this trap as an educator. And again, parents, this applies to even friends. Sometimes we talk to people and we're not even like on the same wavelengths because we're not paying attention to where they're at and what they know and what their level's at. So this is, again, advice for everybody. You got to be able to get out of your own mind, both on an intellectual level to see where other people are at, and then even on a moral level. Don't assume that everybody's like you. Think about where everybody else is at and then give advice and talk to them, interact based on their level, not on your level. Two more. Check for understanding. Yeah, so this is a big big topic that comes up over and over and over again. It's a repeating theme throughout Azrieli classes. And I remember, I have memories of Rabbi Dr. Foreman talking about checking for understanding all the time, something I'm not really doing right now, but you'll forgive me for the, sometimes the setting isn't perfect for it, especially when most people's cameras are off. But, you know, for the most part, when you're teaching, when you're talking, there's ways around it. I'm giving myself excuses, but you should always check for understanding. Make sure people are with you. Make sure your students understand what, just because you said it. And this is a big Yetzer Hara, right? When you say, it takes a lot to overcome this. Just because I said it doesn't mean anybody understood it. Right? Oftentimes, and this is a parenting trap as well, right? We say, you know, I already told you to do that. Well, just because you said to do it doesn't mean that they either understood it or are able to do it. So you always have to, in chinuch, in a classroom, you say something, but do the students actually know what you're talking about? Do they have the ability to repeat back to what you're saying or apply it to something new to show that they actually understood what's going on? So here's an interesting spin on that from the Tiferes Yisrael. So going back to our 48 ways of acquiring Torah, so one or two of them, again, depending on how you count them, is probably one, Shomea Umosif. You hear and then you add. So what does that mean? One of the ways of acquiring Torah is to hear and to add. So the Tiferes Yisrael writes as follows, Shomea Divrei Talmidav Ve'eno Docham. So it says Shomea is, again, guidance for a teacher. Listen to your students and don't just throw it away. Don't just dismiss it. I guess that's a good piece of advice in general. But then I think if you read carefully, he's saying something a little bit deeper here. Ukeshi yivadalo shelohaya lahem dai bidvarav harishonim. When it becomes known to you, and I would say it even stronger, is that we have an obligation to figure out if this is the case, right? But when it becomes known to you that they didn't understand what you were talking about in the first place, shalayu lahem dai bidvar rishon, the first way of you explaining it didn't work. They didn't pick it up. They didn't understand. Lo yelo lemasa lahosif al dvarav ad shiavinu heitev. Don't say, oh, I already taught it. I can't do it again. You know, figure it out on your own. No. Go over it again. Figure out a different way to teach it. Think about a different strategy. So within this, again, embedded is what I think is the essence of checking for understanding, is that don't just because you said it, don't just stop. You have to be engaged with the people you are interacting with. You have to check their body language. You have to check to see concretely, right? How can I know if you understood this or not? And if I don't have proof that they understood it, that they knew it, I got to try again. We got to go at this again. We got to figure this out. Covering ground is not something that just is, you know, should be done. It's, was it processed? Are the people in front of me understanding what's going on? It's a very, very, very important running theme. We have to check for understanding. And I'll close with one last one, and then we'll recap. So this one, I will. Two ways to do this. I'm going to do the shorter way just for the sake of time. There's a fascinating list of six Mishnayos in the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avos towards the end, where they all relate to four different things. They say four things in this context, four types of people in this context, four types of people in a different context, right? So if you can go, you could check it out. It's a pretty fascinating list of six things. We're just going to focus on two for now to take out a very important point about how we, and I assume from Dr. Goldberg's title, he's going to touch on some aspects of this and elaborate on it, but how to focus on each student and to change our method and focus on what each student needs. So I'm not going to elaborate too much because I assume he's going to cover this in a lot more detail, but I think this is a very, very important point from Pirkei Avos that I think ties in a lot of what we're talking about here. So four things. So let's look at a contrast between two of these Mishnayos. The first Mishnah says there are four character traits when it comes to Deos. Deos, let's just loosely translate it here as personality. But as we're going to see, the four things that are mentioned have to do with how we relate to anger. Okay, so because this isn't the essence of the point, it's sort of setting the stage. We're not going to get into too much detail here, but you'll get the basics of what the Mishnah is talking about. So there are four types of characteristics when it comes to anger. One type of person is somebody who's noach lichos ve noach lirtzos. They are quick to anger, but they are quick to then be appeased. Yatza scharo behefsedo. Okay, so again, we're not going to elaborate on all the details here, but let's just look at the four different personalities. Kasha lichos ve kasha lirtzos. You have somebody who's hard to get angry, but hard to be appeased. Then you have somebody who's kasha lichos ve noach lirtzos, somebody who's hard to get angry, but easily appeased. And this will focus on that person's called a chassid, a pious person. So if it's hard for me to get angry, so it doesn't happen that often, and when I do get angry, I'm easily appeased, that's the best of both worlds, right? That's a chassid, that's a pious person. And the worst of the four is noach lichos v'kasha lirtzos. I get angry easily, then I'm hard to be appeased. That person is called a rasha. That's a wicked characteristic. So let's not call them a wicked person, but that's a wicked characteristic. Okay, so keep in mind that we are giving a moral judgment in the positive for the person who's slow to anger and quickly to be appeased, and in the negative for somebody who's quick to anger and hard to be appeased. Now look at the next Mishnah. Four types of students. Now as we read this, try to pay attention to, see if you could figure it out. There's a fundamental difference between how this Mishnah judges the, what we might call the best and the worst of the four, than the previous Mishnah's best and worst of the four. Four types of students. Maher l'shmoa u'maher la'abed. Somebody who's quick to hear, to understand, umaher la'abed, but then it goes sort of in one ear, stays for a minute, but then it goes out the other ear. So it doesn't have a good memory. So quick to understand, quick processing, but the memory is not so great. Next, kasha lishmoa v'kasha la'abed, hard to understand, but once he understands, then it stays, good memory. Number three, maher lishmoa v'kasha la'abed. Somebody, it's the best of both worlds, quick to understand and then has a good memory, doesn't forget it. So that person's called a chacham, a wise person. The worst of both worlds, kasha lishmoa, hard to understand, umaher la'abed, and quick to forget. So bad processing, bad understanding, bad you know, comprehension, and then bad memory too. So what's this person called? Ze chelek ra. This is a bad portion. Okay, so what's the difference between the first Mishnah and the last? And I'll bypass the interaction with the audience now for the sake of simplicity. But in the first, they call the person a rasha, a wicked person. That's a moral judgment. In the second, when it comes to intellectual abilities, doesn't call them a bad person, right? You can't comprehend, and you're quick to forget, you have bad memory, you're a bad person. No, chas v'shalom, that's not what we're going to call that person. Why? So what's interesting here is the question is, to what extent is your, and the Mefarshim deal with this in detail, to what extent is your intellectual ability within your hands versus your moral culpability in terms of your anger and your how you interact with your personality style? That is in your hands. So there's a less responsibility when it comes to your intellect, because some of that, as the Mefarshim say, is just, you know, that's God-given. Maybe you can make some adjustments here and there, and we'll talk about that in a second. But when it comes to your anger, that we expect you to be able to change. So if you don't change it, if you're a noach lichos, v'kasha lirtzos, we're going to say that's a bad thing, right? That's something that you should change. You are culpable for that. But if you have a bad memory and you're just not quick to comprehend, it's not your fault. It's a bad portion. That's not, it's just, you know, I guess talk to God about it. That's just what, that's what happens. Blame your genes. That's not something you can necessarily fully fix. So with that in mind, let's look at the following. I know this is hard to read. It's an old print, but this is the Sefer is called Lo Noda Lami, which means we don't know who wrote the Sefer. Okay, so the title of the book is we're not sure, right? But somebody wrote this a long time ago, and he writes as follows. He says that when it comes to your intellectual ability, and he's using a medieval understanding of how our brain works. It has to do with our brain being wet and our brain being dry. It goes back to Galen and the understanding of how, you know, our physiology was. You have wet brains, you have dry brains, and the combination of the two can fix who you are in terms of your abilities. So he says that when it comes to the intellectual abilities, right, that's just how your brain works. So you might have, through koach ha-hasmad, the third line here, veha-hergel, hashana lef-amim ha-teba. Sometimes if you work really, really, really hard, even if your natural predisposition is towards difficult processing, comprehension, and difficult in memory, sometimes if you work really, really hard, you can change that. You can fix it. It's not easy, but you can change it. You can create a second nature through hard work. So you can theoretically change your intellect through hard work. Now is for the most important point for our purposes. What about kids? There's Talmid Ktanim. You have little kids. Einam Yodim Mevinim Eich L'Shanos Es Tivam. They don't know how to change their nature. So you're an adult. You can read books. You can figure it out. You really want to change how your memory is? Go to memory classes. Read memory books and try as hard as you can and work every day, and you can improve your memory. But you got a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old maybe even who's in front of you, and they have a bad memory. Their memory is not great. Their difficulty comprehend. What are you supposed to do? Adaraba, Yitzram Shoftam Elech Batel Tamid. The opposite. Their Yetzer Hara is telling them, don't do anything, right? And we see this all the time. People who have difficulty learning, they don't want to try. It's a very hard thing to do. And a lot of avoidance of what we might be called as misbehavior in a classroom often comes from students' inability to pay attention, to focus, and to understand. When I'm struggling in a classroom to understand, then I'm going to not want to be there. I want to be Batel Tamid. I just don't want to do it. So therefore, lachain, amar v'achelek tov, ochelek ra. So that's why it says good portion, bad portion, because it's not necessarily up to them. Their anger, let's assume now it's hard to change to, but their anger, we're going to assume that they can change. They can, with guidance and help, presumably, they can work on that. But their comprehension, it's much harder for them. It's not easy to fix. So then what's the message of the Mishnah? Ach, as azharam hi zu lemevi'im lebeis ha-sefer. The message is to the people who bring them to school, meaning presumably their parents, o lemilamdim, or their teachers, sheyechanchu einehem alze behashkacha pratios. It's up to the parents and it's up to the teachers to put their eyes, meaning to focus their attention, the hashkacha pratios, meaning specifically on that student, individualized attention. I'll call echad ve'echad on each one, lefi mashahu b'teva, based on their nature. Some are better, have better memory. Some have better comprehension. Some have worse. It is our responsibility to focus on them, v'yargilu l'teva tova, and try as best as we can to get them on the right track, to get them to have better comprehension, to get them to try to have a better memory, to get them to try to focus more and attend better to the material. It's up to the teachers and the parents to focus on each one. And that really brings us back full circle, and with this we'll close. The message in my mind of Rabbi Dr. Feuerman was that it is our responsibilities to look at the students in front of us and treat each one individually with respect. And a huge portion of that respect is how we talk to them and how we engage with them, but also on how much effort we put into the lesson that we're preparing for them. Do we have a good hook? Did we think through where are they at? Is it relevant? Am I just stuck in my own brain on my own level? Or did I put the time and effort to get to know them and to understand them and to make my lesson so concrete and relevant to them and not just abstract and floating in the air to the point that it's not connecting to them? They have no idea where they're at. They have no idea what I'm talking about because it's just not relatable. And each student is different in this manner. And we really have to take the time and the energy to engage and to think, where is this student at? Where is this class at? And am I really doing a good job of checking for where they're at, checking for the understanding, making sure they're paying attention? It's not just me talking. It's not just me and my knowledge giving it over. It's about figuring out how can I engage with my students in a way that shows that I care about them, I love them, and that I respect them. These are messages that I live every day with my teaching that I've learned from Rabbi Dr. Foreman, and I try to, as best as I can, to give that over to my students. And I think that the message of you know, his legacy still is every day pulsating throughout the Azrieli classrooms, and I'm indebted to him. And I just it's really mind-boggling to think about how much he was able to impact my life and all those who were around him.